for the Super Netball season. We'll be here before we know it in 2020. Chris, great to have you on SEN.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
I don't know if you just heard at all, Chris, our chat with Dan Ryan. Did you hear that?
I didn't actually. No, I missed it. How is Dan going?
Yeah, great story, isn't it? I mean, we often talk, and you know, I was listening to Ange Postecoglou here a few days ago with Waitley and the great job he's doing at Yokohama and, you know, trying to make his mark on the international stage as an elite coach. And Dan, like many, you know, certainly the Australians are highly thought of in elite sort of coaching circles in netball.
Oh, absolutely. I think a lot of the international teams are looking for that level of coaching in their environments to lift the standard. And that's what Suncorp Super Netball has done over the past few years as well. It's really set the benchmark from an elite netball perspective, not just from the playing standard on the court, but also the support staff and particularly the coaches.
As long as they don't take everyone, eh, Chris? We want to keep some of their good talent here. What are some of the key standouts of the fixture that have been released today?
Look, I think to be able to kick off the year with a grand final replay is really exciting. We've got the New South Wales Swifts up against the Sunshine Coast Lightning again in what was a massive grand final this year. And to add to that too, it's going to be the first regular season match that they'll play in their new home at Kenrosewell Arena there, which has been repurposed as their home netball facility for the Swifts and the Giants. So that's a big way to kick things off and really to get some momentum heading into round one.
Gee, that stadium, I cover the tennis, Chris. I'm looking forward to getting up there for the ATP Cup. And, of course, that stadium has been dying for a roof for a long time. And not only is it going to be great for tennis, it does become that multi-purpose venue. So at Homebush there, it just becomes sort of a whole new look, that venue.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And I was in there recently while it was getting refurbished in the hard hat and high-vis vest and just got a great sense of excitement around the possibility. I mean, obviously there's the tennis that goes into there, but then the netball content that's going to be delivered there throughout the year is going to be fantastic.
Like the AFL and the NRL, you look at sort of those themed type rounds, the Indigenous round. I mean, the AFL and the NRL do it so well, and it's a great way, isn't it, to pay homage to the great Indigenous people of this country.
Absolutely, yeah. Round five this year, which is actually lined up with National Reconciliation Week, and also with the footy codes. Hopefully, we can line up and all come together to make sure that we're celebrating our great Indigenous culture in the right way. And we've done that over the last couple of years at different points throughout the year, but we felt like this year it'd be great to line it up with that week and also with the celebrations that are taking place in the other codes so we can really amplify that message.
Yeah, certainly some examples of trying to align your fixture. I mean, I look at the public holiday in Melbourne, of course, which is Queen's birthday, Collingwood-Melbourne, traditional clash. The Magic and the Vixens looking to play prior to that. You've also got the Fire and the Swifts in that sort of state of origin type matchup as well?
Yeah, correct. You're trying to maximise the storylines that run through the year and also that run through other codes. And we had a really successful Queen's Birthday Clash this year, and it was great to see some of the fans come along to the netball and they had their M&D beanies on and went across to the footy afterwards. And it really showed that close link between the codes, and so we'll continue that theme and then to try and line up and really get behind that state versus state rivalry in terms of Queensland and New South Wales was a outcome we're looking for in the fixture as well.
Yeah, that's what I was keen to ask you. I mean, the clubs that have aligned with the AFL clubs, is there what percentage of crossover is there of those who sort of buy the dual membership type setup, or have you still got that sort of dedicated netball audience who sort of just follow the netball side of it?
Yeah, there's still definitely a core netball audience. I mean, we've got really avid fans in terms of those that love their netball and committed to their netball. But of course, having those connections with the footy codes presents a great opportunity to expand the fan base and start to talk to those new audiences and really expose them to the quality that we've got on offer with the league. So it's a great thing for the league and a great thing for growing our fan base for netball.
Chris Symington with us. He is the CEO of Netball Australia. The fixture has been released today, so you can pull that apart for the Super Netball season in 2020. Do you feel as a competition, Chris, that you're quite content with the amount of rounds, teams. Is there any further expansion on the horizon? Where does sort of the structure of the competition sit in discussions that you would have quite frequently?
Yeah, look, I think the number of rounds, the number of teams we've got at the moment, we're happy with the format that we've got. We've got another couple of years left to run on our broadcast agreement with Nine and Telstra, and so as we head past 21, we'll do our due diligence in terms of looking at whether there are opportunities for expansion or not, and whether that's the right move. But for the next 2 years, we're definitely set with our eight teams and 14 rounds and heading into a quality final series.
I noticed from a Diamonds perspective, Lisa Alexander has called for 12-month central contracts to help with the Diamonds structure, allowing a better system for the international team. Is that a possibility to happen? Where does that sort of sit on the agenda?
Yeah, look, it's an interesting one, isn't it? It's that getting the balance right between club and country is something that a lot of codes wrestle with, and the Diamonds are a fantastic team and a fantastic brand, and we want to make sure that they're being successful, and as well as the league. So those are the types of discussions that will happen over the next year or so as we head into the new broadcast agreement, and we start looking at our collective players agreements and how they might be shaped for the future.
I mean, netball's got such a great grassroots foothold, hasn't it? In terms of participation, in terms of those transferring into fans to fill your venues, and we had the Diamonds over in Perth at the Constellation Cup at ROC Arena, which I was at for the tennis last week, which is a great venue, and that was close to capacity. That sports entertainment space, it's hugely competitive across all the codes to draw eyes to your sport. Can you give us an insight internally at Netball Australia in trying to stay ahead of the curve, if you like, in making your product a real standout one?
Yeah, and I think, look, you've touched on the strength of the sport, which is its grassroots reach and the number of people we have playing out there. It's a fantastic code that really reaches throughout the whole of the country and has a great spread as well. There isn't really regions that are traditionally stronger than others like you might see in the football code. So I think that's a point of difference for us in terms of the reach that we have across all states and territories. But we need to just continue to work hard to make sure we tell the right stories about the great product that we have on the court and the great ambassadors and role models that we have in our players, because they're the ones that are going to inspire the next generation and keep the sport growing year on year. So that's where we'll be focusing our attention, just telling our stories and getting the message out there to inspire new participants, new fans.
I mean, elite netball here, along with, I think of, the WNBL in basketball from a women's sport perspective, and others are always going to have imports in their competitions, and they bring such great value. How do you sort of measure their impact, Chris, in terms of the audience here and abroad?
Well, I guess you could... There's obviously a number of ways you can measure it, and we've actually got a competition committee, which is not too dissimilar to the AFL in terms of the structure that they have, with multiple stakeholders who come together and have a robust debate around the shape of the league and how that should be going forward. But we know that we've got the best netball competition in the world. It's the best standard. We know from our fans that the standard of the competition is better than ever. And we know the international players have had a massive role to play in that. So we know that it's lifted the standard of our league, but we also know that it's lifted the standard of world netball, yep, which is a great thing for the sport in general. If you just have to look at the previous World Cup to see the performances of some of the other nations that historically haven't been at the level of what Australia and New Zealand have been at, and that bar is definitely lifting, which is only good for the sport as a whole.
Great stuff. Chris, appreciate your time today. Good luck for 2020.
No problem. Thanks for having me.